Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. And if you want more information because you couldn't follow all of that, just Google Good News in the Morning or Good News Christian Ministries and you can find out all about us. My name is George Sinclair. I'm pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa. And it's my privilege to open the Bible and talk about Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at the book of Revelation. And so if you want to, you know, you can't obviously read the Bible if you're driving your car and listening to this. But if you're sitting down somewhere, we're going to listen to a piece of music. And if you don't have your Bible with you, why don't you get your Bible? Just before we listen to the music, just want to remind you that this show is completely and utterly supported by our listeners. The main support we need is prayer. So please pray for us. But if you can support us financially, that would be great as well. So sit back, and we're going to listen to the Rend Collective sing Praise Like Fireworks. Good morning again. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries, and you can Google us to find out more. Today, we're going to be looking at the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. And here's the question before we sort of look at the text. Is there a tension between truth and love? Many of us have maybe fallen in love. Maybe some of us, maybe many of us who've listened, are listening, have been married or are married. And, many of us have had the experience or know people who've had the experience that you find somebody, you think they're wonderful, you marry them, and then sometime into the marriage, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month, maybe it's a year, you discover that they're not quite as wonderful as you thought they were. As you learn some truths about them, your love starts to get a little bit harder to love them. And in fact, we're very familiar in our culture that love is blind. Sometimes we're concerned for our friends or our children or family members that their love for a person is making them blind about the truth about that person. So, is there some tension between truth and love? And this Bible passage that we're going to look at speaks into this situation in terms of our walk with Jesus and in terms of just who God is and church life. So this week, and I share this program with three other great speakers, so it's going to take a while, but for this time and the next six times that I speak, I'm going to go through each of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. That's the last book in the Bible. It's chapters 2 and 3. So if you have your Bibles, open them up, and we're going to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Here's how it goes. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So remember what I said, is there a bit of a tension between truth and love? But before we get to that, here's the first really important takeaway. A follower of Jesus should care about what Jesus cares about. And Jesus cares about his church and his churches. In other words, his church, because there's ultimately on one level, from a supernatural, spiritual level, from God's perspective, there's only one church. But on the other hand, that one church exists in local churches. So a follower of Jesus should care about what Jesus cares about, and Jesus cares about his church and his churches. That's sort of just seen very at the very beginning. You might wonder what's all this talk about the seven stars and the seven golden lampstands. Well, if you just read chapter 1, verse 20, the verse immediately before this, it says, as for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, this is a very curious idea that each church has an angel, and I believe Jesus, and I believe that's true. But there's a bundle of truths around that, not just the fact that there's an angel connected with every local church. And that bundle of truths includes the idea that not only that a local church is not just a sociological or psychological reality, there's a spiritual reality to every local church. And what this is saying is that Jesus walks amongst the churches. He walks with his churches. He cares for the churches. He holds the churches in his hand, close to his heart. And the angels in some ways then represent the mission, the identity of the church, what it's to be all about. And Jesus holds those angels in his hand. So Jesus walks amongst his churches and cares for his churches. So, here's the thing for those of us, and a follower of Jesus should be part of a local church. Because we enter the Jesus way one by one as individuals. We enter the Jesus way one by one, but we walk the Jesus way with Jesus and others. That's the Christian life. And so, we all know that churches have all these preoccupations. We might be preoccupied, you know, they might be preoccupied about a building, about the yard sale, about the Christmas bazaar, you know, about, you know, this or this or this or this. So we all know what we're all interested in. But a follower of Jesus should care about what Jesus cares about. And so that means we always need to search the Bible to hear the words of Jesus and to hear his heart. What is it that Jesus cares about? It's not enough just to care about what we care about. A church should care about what Jesus cares about. And this gets us into the heart of our talk. Now, I've been married, happily married, many, many years to Louise. But when I first met Louise, I was very interested in going out with her, but she at first was not interested in going out with me. You know, many of you have maybe had that experience as well in terms of your own relationships. And so, you know, I asked her out a variety of times, and eventually she said yes. And then after we went out one time, we went out a second time. And the second time we went out, it was in January. It was here in Ottawa. And after we had a little bit, I don't know, maybe went to a movie, I can't remember. We went back to the apartment that she shared with some other people. And we got talking in the kitchen. And before I knew it, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at my watch and I said, oh gosh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I guess I should go home. And so I went home, and I had about it somewhere between a 9 to 10 kilometer walk in Ottawa. It was January. I was a graduate student, a poor graduate student. I didn't have a car, didn't have money for a cab. It was minus 20. I don't know what it was with the wind chill, but it was minus 20. I had a 9 to 10 kilometer walk at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now let me ask you this question. Do you think I walked home going, oh dang, that woman keeping me talking to 3 o'clock in the morning? Doesn't she know I have intellectual stuff to do? Doesn't she know I'm going to be tired tomorrow? Didn't she realize I was going to have to walk home in the cold, trudge home in the cold? Like, what was she thinking? Do you think that's what I thought? I did not walk home thinking that. I just walked home so excited that Louise was willing to talk to me till 3 o'clock in the morning and not be bored. And I just walked home easily bearing the cold and easily bearing the distance. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Jesus cares that we renew our first love for him. Jesus cares that we renew our first love for him. Look at verses 4 and 5. Did you notice that? What's gone on is that this just as a church that's it knows true doctrine, it cares about true doctrine, and it's taken a stand for true doctrine. Maybe many of us are in churches where the churches neither know true doctrine, or if they do, they're not willing to take a stand for true doctrine. They're not willing to pay a price for true doctrine. But this is a church that knows true doctrine. It's taken a stand for true doctrine. It's suffering for its stand. And it's been willing to confront false teachers, and for this confrontation, it's paid a price. And many of us might wish that we were in churches like that, and that would be a good thing to wish for, by the way. But here's the thing. This church is a church with a big but. I know I said that on the radio, on a Christian show. And that's in verse 4 and 5. Did you notice it says this? But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. See, this is so serious. This church has lost its first love. And it's so serious that from Jesus' point of view, it endangers the existence of the church as a church. You know, it might be continue on as an institution. There's churches that continue on as institutions, even though there's, in fact, Jesus has said that spiritually they've died. So I'm not talking about the continuation of an institution. I'm talking about from Jesus's perspective, the church has died. And it's so important that we renew our first love. And so, in our marriages, sometimes, we have to ask the question of ourselves, of our marriage. Have I lost my first love for my wife? Have I lost, you might have to say, have I lost my first love for my husband? We have to ask ourselves in the church, have I lost my first love for Jesus? Has my church love lost its first love for Jesus? And if that's the case, then what we need to do is repent. We need to call out to God and say, God, I think this is going on to me. Have mercy upon me. and help me, Father. Grant me that first love. Grant me that. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Father, do whatever it is you have to do. Jesus, do whatever it is you have to do to have me, to have my church renew its first love for you. So here's the thing. We pray for that, but in our culture, this is the really big thing. In our culture, we unconsciously do play with this idea that there is somehow a bit of a tension between truth and love. And so for many of us following our culture, we think that as our love for Jesus increases, that our concern for doctrine will decrease. Maybe we've been, captivated by teachings of mystics that seem to talk about how the more love increases, then differences and distinctions and all, they fall away and they don't matter as much. But, in God, here's the thing about the God that's revealed in the Bible, the Father of Jesus, and Jesus is God as well. What we see in him is that as you get to know God more and more and more and more, there's never a point in time that his love abates. In fact, it's just an endless journey into endless love, which never becomes less than love. It only becomes more love. And at the same time, God is completely and utterly true. And the more you go into God, the more you realize that he is true and that truth matters. And there's never any time in God that there's a contradiction or a tension between love and truth. We experience that tension, but that tension does not exist in God. And we can see this in this text. In this text, here's another takeaway. Jesus cares that we love and cherish true doctrine. Jesus cares that we love and cherish true doctrine. Go back and look at verses 2 and 3, the verses just before the part that I read earlier. And here's what it says. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So this is a church that cares about the truth about Jesus, cares about the truth about God, cares about the truth of God's word, is willing to confront false teachers, and these are false teachers that have prestige and position and power, institutional prestige and power, maybe charismatic in a psychological sense, prestige and power, and they've been willing to pay a price to speak against them. So, and Jesus sees this as a good thing. And then there's the part that we read that verses 4 and 5 about how they have to, they've lost their first love and it endangers the very existence of the church. But then note in verse 6 what happens after he says this. Look at that, verse 6. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, what that says is, and I'm not going to talk about what the Nicolaitans are, listen in a couple of weeks when I get to another one of the churches and I'll sort of unpack what that means. But here's the thing, even after they've been challenged and in fact strongly warned of their need to return to their first love, after that he continues to commend them for their concern about true doctrine. You notice that? So it's not the case that as their love for Jesus increases, their concern for true doctrine decreases. And that's because God is real and Jesus is real. Quite a few years ago with one of my kids, before bullying became a big thing in the schools, one of my kids, we got the report card and they were just in grade 1 or 2 or something like that. And we saw the son of mine that he got a really low mark on something, a character trait. So, I know my kids aren't all perfect, but when we went in for the parent-teacher interview, I asked about that. And they said, oh, well, the problem is that your son is a tattletale. And I said, my son's a tattletale. And then it comes out that my son had seen some kids being bullied, and he tried to stop them being bullied, and they wouldn't stop, the bullies wouldn't stop. So he went and told a teacher. And these two teachers thought that was a bad thing about my son. We had a very interesting conversation about that, and the truth about my son matters, and if you said to me that you'd met my wife and that she flew into a rage and she was screaming and swearing at a clerk, I would say, I'm sorry, you cannot possibly be talking about my wife. That's not my wife. You've mixed her up with some other person. You see, Jesus cares about truth and love because he's real. It's because God is real that the truth about him matters. The truth about God isn't just something private. Now, here's a couple of things to wind up. Indifference to bearing witness to the person, work, and words of Jesus is a deadly sin. You see, it's not just that they have some warm fuzzies about loving Jesus, but it comes out in action. Remember in my earlier talk, I counted it joy that I was able to walk 9 or 10 kilometers in minus 20 weather in January because I spent time with Louise. And that's what's being talked about. It's not just having new feelings about God, but that willingness to do things for Jesus, do things for God that comes out of love. That's what is to be renewed. That's what we're to cry out for. And the reason that we cry out for that is all because of grace. It's all because of grace. In the early days of my liking Louise and asking her out and her not saying no, I remember coming home one night from a party and a good friend of mine, he and I were walking home. We'd been at the same party. And I remember saying to my friend, I don't know, you know, I think Louise is too good looking to go out with a guy like me. And my friend said, you're right. She is too good looking to go out with a guy like you. And I thought, well, thanks, Tom. That's just the word of encouragement I needed. But you know, I really take it as an act of grace, in a sense, that Louise would go out with somebody like me. And I still think that. And you see, here's the thing, that from God, you know, every human being, in a sense, is unlovely and unworthy. And at the heart of the Christian faith is this profound message that God sent his son, that Jesus, while we were still rebels, while we were still, in a sense, at enmity with God, while we were still sinners, while we had still turned our back on God, that while we were all of these things, that Jesus comes to save us and to rescue us. He comes to, in a sense, make us clean, make us pure. He comes and does everything that has to be done so that we can become the adopted children of God. And he does this all while we are rebels and have our back turned to him. That at the very, very heart of the Christian faith is the message of Jesus coming to seek us and being willing to even die a shameful death upon the cross on our behalf, also that we, when we put our faith and trust in him, can become his adopted children. Have you become his adopted child? Have you turned to him? There's no better time than today, right now, to call out to Jesus. If it's a matter of renewing your first love, call out for that. If it's a matter of beginning a walk with Jesus, to call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death upon the cross. Thank you for the grace that comes to us through his death upon the cross. Thank you for your love for us. Father, we ask that you would help us to be gripped by the gospel so that as we're gripped by the story of Jesus, it will push us into new things. It will draw us and attract us and into new things. It will shape us and ground us so it will be yours forever. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, we're going to listen to some music by Stuart Townend, What Wonder of Grace. Just to remind you, you're listening to CFRA Radio. The show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries. Google us to find out more information. My name's George St. Clair. I'm pastor of Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa. Please pray for us and have a great day. God bless.
What wonder of grace is this?
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.